Next on our agenda is item K. This is an action item. It's trial courts, recidivism reduction fund, the court grant program, and these are the recommendation for awards. We welcome Mr. Curtis Child, Judicial Council Chief Operating Officer, and Ms. Shelley Curran, Judicial Council Criminal Justice Services.
Good afternoon, Chief and members. I just wanted to make a couple of quick introductory remarks and then let Shelley talk about the specifics in the recommendations and the proposal. As you recall, the legislature, quite late in the game, ultimately appropriated $15 million for a recidivism reduction program. And Shelley and her team promptly, the day of the signing, I think, jumped on getting the proposal put together, worked with I think the courts and ultimately and procurement, and put together a great RFP, got it out quickly, and so we're now ready to move ahead with a set of recommendations on the allocations for those that submitted their proposal. Their team really had to do this in the face of Prop 47 popping up, Williams case coming up, and realignment still ongoing. But the important thing, I think, was to ensure that we're getting out these dollars as quickly as possible to the selected pilot so that we can begin to assist in the recidivism reduction that that the state is focused on. So with that, Shelley, I'll let you walk through.
Thanks, Kirk. Good afternoon, Chief and members of the council. We spoke with you briefly in October to give you an update on what we had been doing. We secured the feedback from Executive and Planning Committee in August about the process. And in order to avoid any potential conflict of interest, ENP charged Criminal Justice Services Office to work on the development of the RFP, field questions from interested trial courts or other justice system partners, receive the request for proposal or the actual proposals from the trial courts, score them, and then bring recommendations to the council for your ultimate consideration and approval. And so that is the culmination of this process. In the development of the RFP, we solicited the input of outside state and national experts. We also worked with Criminal Law Advisory Committee, the Collaborative Justice Advisory Committee, the presiding judges and court executive officers to ask them about things that would be included, should be included in a successful RFP. We took that information, developed the RFP, got it out to the courts on August 15th. Courts responded to us on December 15th. We received 38 different applications, and our funding proposal, to our recommendations to you for your consideration today include funding 27 different court programs. In order to develop these recommendations for your consideration, we came up with policies to drive us in an effort to fund as many courts as possible and as geographic diverse as possible. We also received input from local justice system partners, the statewide representatives, along with legislative staff, staff from the governor's office and the Department of Finance to ensure that we were meeting their vision as much as possible with the very limited amount of information that we received from them included in the budget bill. So to that end, when we developed our sets of recommendations for you, we suggested that courts that received the minimum of 65 points as addressed in the RFP receive fundings, that all courts that met that 65 threshold receive funding, but that we only fund one program in each court. So there were a couple of courts who did score above 65 in a couple of different program categories. And again, forgive me, the program categories, to remind you, were pretrial services, collaborative courts, and the court use of risk and needs assessment at sentencing. So limit one program per court, and then also to limit the grant amount to $600,000. Included in the RFP, we suggested that grant awards would typically be between $300,000 and $600,000, but we encouraged courts to apply for more funds if they needed to. But based upon the volume of applications and the significant interest that we received from the trial courts, our recommendations reflect limiting the grant amounts to just $600,000. Our recommendations to you include, if you adopt them, it will end up funding 10 pretrial programs throughout the state, 17 collaborative courts, and those 17 collaborative courts range from drug courts to vet courts to mental health courts, mandatory supervision courts, a very broad variety of different courts. The applications came from all over the state, courts of various sizes. So our recommendation include funding of 7 different Category 1 courts, and those Category 1 courts are the smallest courts. We developed 4 different categories of courts in order to consider them, and that's based on the local supervised population is how we did that, and it very closely reflects the size courts also, so that all worked out well. 6 Category 2 courts, 11 Category 3 courts, and 3 Category 4 courts are included in our recommendations. If the Judicial Council chooses to adopt the set of recommendations, there will be some money left over. That dollar amount is not yet set in stone, because after we receive your approval, then we'll have to go back and work with some of the grantee courts in order to refine budgets. There are some things that were included. Some were simple math errors, of course, and then other things that might be some inallowable costs based upon the Judicial Council contracting manual. So that dollar amount is not set in stone, but should you choose to go forward with this set of recommendations of the funding those 27 court programs, we further recommend that any leftover dollars that I suspect will range between $600,000 and $650,000 be made available to the 6 trial courts for whom we did not recommend funding, allow them to come back and resubmit proposals for these programs, and then rank them and bring that back to the council for your consideration. I would love to do that in June if we in a spirit of continuing to get this money out. If there's any dollars left after that in this program, we recommend small planning and implementation technical assistance grants for any trial courts that might be interested in developing a program that ultimately reduces adult offender recidivism, make that available for the trial courts. And then finally, one last request that we are making included in our memorandum to you is to provide council staff the ability to work, or authorize council staff to work with grantee trial courts to move budgets from, or dollar amounts from, one year to another. So, for example, in the event that X court is not going to spend all of their year one money, provide us the ability to go back to the court and say, okay, you can shift this money here. Any reallocation of funds from one court to another court, we would come back, of course, and seek council approval. But we request now permission to actually work with the courts from year to year as needed. So, with that, thank you.
So I have a question in terms of this work. I have respect for how quickly Judicial Council staff acted on this budget item, which came to light a little bit later in the budget process, and then we realized this money existed. And as you described, with not a great roadmap of how to get it to the trial courts. And so I realize that with a meeting with Judicial Council and with direction from Judicial Council leadership, the topic came to the staff of the Judicial Council to find a way to make this work in a transparent and even fashion for all the courts. And that resulted in, as you indicated, consultation with state and national experts, the compilation of an RFP, notice to the courts, application processes, policies, categories. Is there anything about this fund that helped assist the Judicial Council council staff in funding the extra effort that this took, or is that something that you were able to do?
No, Chief, I should have made that clear. The appropriation the appropriation was for $15 million. The Judicial Council was provided 5% of that $15 million to conduct this work. So some money did come to council staff to do this.
Very helpful in terms of how quickly that this has been able to get out to the trial courts to begin recidivist programs. Any questions, comments? Judge Rosenberg.
Just a couple quick questions. First of all, how confident are you that all 58 trial courts got the word? Because this moved very fast.
I spoke with, I think, at least one, if not two, of the trial court presiding judges' meetings, along with the court executive meetings. This was published in CNU. And I think that there was significant public interest. So, and based upon the fact that we did receive so many applications, I can never be 100% certain, of course, but I am very confident that the vast majority, if not all, of the trial courts were aware of this.
Not sure all trial court CEOs and all trial court, certainly all trial court presiding judges attend those meetings. Of the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee and SEAC. But secondly, why should this be opened to the six that you found not qualified or not qualifying for a second bite at the apple, as opposed to opening it up to all?
If the council wants to open it up for all, of course, I think that's a council decision. In addition to speaking at the court, to the court executives and the presiding judges, we also did send emails out to all of the PJs and all of the CEOs, so it was published in that way as well. Our recommendation was based upon the fact that we know that those six courts are interested in this by having come forward at the beginning and saying that they were interested in receiving these funds. They also have put in a significant amount of effort and energy into these programs. We wish that we could have, that there were enough dollars to fund everyone, of course. So if the council wants us to go forward, I think the timeline will be a little bit tighter. That 90 days, I think, was tough for a lot of courts to be able to turn around and get it done in 90 days. But in the interest of being responsive to the trial courts, being responsive to our other sisters of government, we wanted to get it out as quickly as possible. So I do think that if we open it up to all the trial courts, it will make that timeline much longer. And the dollars do have to be spent by April 30th, 2017. So timing-wise, it could be tougher.
Thank you. I'm not suggesting we do that. I'm just probing why you're making that recommendation.
Yeah, one other piece of that, Judge, I think that's important, is in the conversations with the other branches of government, they were very interested in getting as broad a spectrum as we could get. So I think that's also part of the effort to make sure that we can get out, rather than just funding some additional grants, make it broader yet still. That helps. That, I think, was ultimately their intent.
Thank you. Judge Stout and Judge Weber.
I just want to thank you very much for your outstanding work on this. I think it's really commendable. And if it's appropriate, Chief, I'd move the proposal.
Thank you, Judge Stout. Judge Weber.
How did you come up with the $600,000 funding limit as opposed to some type of percentage? I know you came up with a limit because you wanted to provide funding to as many courts as possible, but it seemed just putting a cap at 600,000, some of the courts that may be larger courts then sort of arbitrarily got a smaller allotment.
Many of the courts actually applied for that maximum $600,000, and so there was we did look at that, and there wasn't as clean a way to do it mathematically to come up with what exact percentage would bring it below. There were not that many courts that went above that $600,000 request. Most courts were right around $600,000. Probably four or five had requests between $800 and $1.1 million, but for the most part it was right around that $600,000 amount.
There's a motion on now to second by Judge Soh.
Yes.
Any further discussion? Questions?
Chief.
Yes, Judge McCabe.
And I just want to make sure Attachment A is the full listing of the proposed awards.
Yes, yes. Okay. And I do want to point out with the touch, and it's, we say approximate because, again, Judge, to go back to that point where we are going to have to refine some of the budgets with some of the courts because of unallowable costs.
Noted. And the court, I will note that my court is listed, and therefore I disclose that and will recuse myself from any discussion or participation further.
Mm-hmm. Well, can we get a clarification? Do council members have to recuse themselves? I don't think so.
No, because you don't come here just, as a representative of your court. You come as a representative of experience, but you represent, you're looking at statewide issues.
That's what I thought, because Judge McCabe has never represented his court.
Unfortunately, my court may agree with you, too.
His court is appearing pro per.
Yeah, yes. I do that because it's the easy way out as a advisory member. I don't have a vote anyway, so it's really.
There you go.
Huh? Touche.
Can I just make one real quick?
Yes,
comment?
Thank you, Mary Beth.
I just wanted to say I just checked my emails and I did find where the presiding judges and the court execs, all of them, received not only the initial RFP but reminders about the date. So it was well published.
That's good to know. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. I see no hands raised for further discussion. All in favor of the recommendation starting on page one and ending on page two, four of those, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks,
Thank
Chief.
You.